Hi, my name is Helen Peake Godin. I teach at the University of Southern Maine in Portland, Maine, which is just a little bit cooler than where we are right now. And I'm going to talk about integrating environmental sustainability into a nursing curriculum. And this is like a process that I'm going to review with you. We're still in the middle of it, but we feel that we've had some success along the way. This is my disclosure statement, no relationships to disclose. Just a little bit about the College of Nursing and Health Professions. It's an interdisciplinary college. We have a School of Nursing with graduate and undergraduate education, and we also have a Doctorate of Nursing Practice that has been approved, and we hope to have that up and running within the next 2 years. We have a Department of Sports Medicine and Exercise Physiology that offers baccalaureate degrees in about 4 to 5 different majors, and then we have a Department of Recreation and Leisure Studies that offer baccalaureate degrees. I'm going to go through a timeline to tell you what's happened during the last 3 years. We were very lucky that in the fall of 2005 that the university started what is now an annual event where they had a sustainability conference. And each college and department could send representatives to this event. And as it turns out, 4 of us came from the College of Health Professions, or the College of Nursing and Health Professions. And the role of that, the purpose of that conference was to strengthen environmental sustainability efforts throughout the university. And the second is to increase academic content, course content across campuses. And we have 3 campuses. After that 2.5 day event, they gave each of us $500. I mean, they didn't personally hand us a check, but that said, take this money and go out and strengthen your environmental sustainability in your curriculum. This is just a little cartoon that I really like. One of the other things that happened at that initial sustainability conference is that before we went to the conference, we sent information related, each of us did, related to how far we drove to the university, what kind of car we had, how much other driving did we need, etc. So when we got there, we all had something to look at and talk about as far as our personal use when it came to automobiles. And this is very true. I'm going to skip that. So that was in the fall of 2005. So we went back, my colleague and I went back to the College of Nursing, and we said, okay, what are we going to do? So the first thing we did was that we recommended to the faculty as a whole that we initiate a college-wide committee on environmental sustainability, and that was actually approved initially. It was approved not as a standing committee at that point in time, but we had the support of our colleagues to begin this committee and to begin the work of the committee. Faculty teaching the community health courses increase environment-related content into the community health nursing curriculum and also into our community health course. And our community health course is an interdisciplinary course. It's a college course. It's not a School of Nursing course. So we have different disciplines in that course. And the third thing that happened that spring was our dean, who is now our former dean, regretfully, Dr. Jane Kirschling, because she's not because something happened to her, but she's at the University of Kentucky. But she proposed to the college faculty and staff that we, Masterton Hall, which is the primary building on one of the campuses that houses the College of Nursing, that we go green. And that was like a unanimous decision by faculty and staff that we were going to make Masterton Hall green. So the sustainability committee is formed. And we had 2 major goals. One was to continue to strengthen the role of the health-related professions in environmental health by increasing the knowledge and the skills of nursing, rec and leisure, and exercise and sports physiology students. And this is really a great combination of students. Our rec and leisure students work a lot with disabled people, a lot with the elderly, and a lot with youth. And exercise and sports physiology work a lot with youth and with middle-aged and older adults. We took the community health course, and we said, okay, we had like one class on the environment, and we decided, well, we need to increase that. And as you can imagine, an undergrad community health course, a concepts course, is really like a survey course. So you don't get the opportunity to get in depth in any one area. It's like I always say to my students, you could take a number of courses in this content, but you're going to have it in one class. But we did increase it. We developed two classes, so that was like 6 hours, and then we tried to integrate environmental issues into the other classes. We wanted to look at the environment as a whole, and then we also wanted to look at the impact on individual and population health, and then the role of health professionals in becoming leaders of change. This is the Concepts in Community Health course, and this is the course description. I just want to point out is that what we did was, is we added this, the underlined area was what we added to the course description, threats to the global environment, as well as environmental impacts on specific populations were analyzed with an emphasis on long-term sustainability issues. So again, we were trying to present both a global perspective and also emphasize the impact on specific populations. I like this quote, and one of the reasons I like it is we're very privileged that on November 14th, I believe it is, that Stephanie Chabluka, who some of you may know, she's a professor, I believe she's at UMass Lowell, and she's also a visiting professor at Harvard, where her emphasis is on environmental health. And this is from the American Association of Occupational Health Nursing. And I like this. It's environmental health within occupational and environmental health nursing refers to the human health effects associated with chemical, biological, and physical agents in the air, water, and soil, and food. And I think this is a good definition, particularly to present to our concepts in community health students. Related content, and some of the content that we address in that is obviously the environmental influence on health around the world. And the amount of information that's out there is just, it's like you have to weed through it, decide, okay, what is most important for me to put into this 3-hour class. We look at impact on public health. And then we do a couple of films that I just wanted to mention because we've been very successful in using those films to stimulate discussion among the students. One of them is Antarctica on the Edge, Impending Ecological Doom. Some of you are probably familiar with that. And that brings the students more to that global awareness. And the second one is the film, and I can't remember the exact name, but it's about Fallon, Nevada. Has anybody used that? It's a wonderful film, and it talks about the impact on Fallon, this community out in Nevada, and where children are being diagnosed with leukemias and other cancers. And it talks about the struggles of that community to find out what's the source of this and then to get it recognized. And actually, I have had students actually connect directly with some of the leaders in Fallon. So that tells us what the impact is on the populations, and then Antarctica on the Edge gives us more of a global perspective. Students develop community assessment projects, and they use very much, we give them the classic community approach to community assessments, which include environment, and they look at populations, but they can also choose topics. What we found in that course is that, and maybe some of you have found this also, is that our students, it's after a while, it's like, I feel like it's an ethical dilemma for faculty. It's like, no, nobody can do teenage pregnancy this semester because everybody wants to do it, and we can't have people doing it 3 semesters. This course is actually offered 3 times a year. It's offered fall, spring, and summer, and then it's also each semester offered over ITV across the state of Maine. So it goes out probably each semester to about 125 students. So we hit a large, and not all of those are obviously in the College of Nursing Health Professions. This is just an example of recent student projects. Last summer, a group did colony collapse disorder, which I have to say I was very ignorant of. And now it seems like since the students did the presentation, I see it everywhere. But it's a really good topic because the students can take it from, okay, well, we still don't know what's causing our honeybees to die, but they can take it from, okay, here's possible causes, all the way to how that's going to impact on nutrition. So it's a great topic. Mercury, as was mentioned earlier, and then radon is also an issue in Maine as in other states. And this just tells us a little bit about radon. And radon is actually the second leading cause of lung cancer, which I think a lot of people aren't aware of the extent to radon. So that students learn from that. They learn about the impact. We actually, several years ago, had one of our students actually died shortly after of lung cancer, and the feedback that came to us from the family that was related to radon. So that's how it impacts on families in particular areas of the community. This is just another environmental hazards at home, and where the students can see, okay, yes, radon is in the it's in the foundation, and then what does that do? How does that get up into the homes? And then, as you can see, I love this this diagram because it shows all the other potentially synergistic effects of other exposures. Dioxin is very much an issue in Maine because of the paper mills. Health policy course, which I teach at the graduate level, is that we look at policies related to the environment and we critique those policies. And this is one of the things, besides increasing the environmental content in the undergrad program, that I also attempted to do it at the graduate level. We've had actually fun with it at the grad level. My students and I were asked to attend a press conference at the state legislature. Oh, back in, I can't remember, years go back fast, 2007, and there was a study done in Maine that actually did blood testing and urine testing on just 12 people. You may have heard of it. And they found these chemicals. I mean, it was a variety of people, a vegetarian. One of the legislators is a young woman who grew up on one of our islands. And she had all these chemicals in her blood, including bisphenol A and phthalates and mercury and lead. And there was also a nurse who was involved in the study. And many of these people had higher than national levels, which was quite frightening. A group project the students took on, and I'll talk about that in a few minutes. But the graduate students have gotten very involved in environmental issues. Basically, what the grad students do is analyze major issues impacting the health of populations and the environment from global, national, region, and local perspectives. Another example is the role of the advanced practice nurse in cancer prevention. Most of our students will be advanced practice nurses, and so what we have to take in policy is how do we translate that into the role of being an advanced practice nurse. The second goal of the committee is to increase the visibility of the College of Nursing and Health Professions as a role model in environmental sustainability. And it actually has become a role model that other people across the campus have looked to the College of Nursing to see what does nursing do, or what is the College of Health and I keep saying nursing, but it's really the College of Nursing and Health Professions. What are they doing? What's happening? In the summer and fall of 06, we became green over the summer. I think our dean probably did it by herself, but we all came in and we had, energy-saving bulbs in our desk lamps, the original lighting fixtures in all the classrooms, hallways, and common spaces were upgraded. Fixtures in restrooms, mechanical spaces were retrofit with modern lamps. And we demonstrated that we could save which weren't expensive changes, that we reduced consumption by 89,000 kilowatt hours for a net saving of over $11,000 per year. I don't know if any of you are from state universities, but 11,000 right now is an important piece of money. 2007, we decided to show the students, not the students, but we aligned ourselves with the student nurse organization, which has been very positive, and also the university student PIRG group. And we showed An Inconvenient Truth one evening, and we had over 80 people attend that. And just a while ago, I was trying to remember what PIRG stands for. I get their newsletter all the time. Yes? Public Interest Research Group. Thank you. And they do a lot with the environment. March 19th, we had Environmental Impacts on Health. This was a project that my graduate students took on. And as you can see, they had a variety of speakers. It was a great panel. Dr. Rick Donahue is at Harvard right now, but he used to be a family practice physician out on Vinyl Haven. Betty Cattell, she's an RN, and look at her title, is so impressive. We hope that she they can continue to fund that. She's the pollution prevention coordinator at the hospital. Representative John Hink, he just had legislation introduced and passed related to the banning of phthalates and bisphenol A. Vince Markowski, who's at USM, is doing research related to arsenic and children's behavior problems. And then Dudley Greeley is our sustainability coordinator. This past spring, we coordinated again with PIRG, supported with funding from our dean's office. We had students. It was amazing just having plain t-shirts and plain white hats and having students walk through kind of an archway where the school is. And they decorated with things related to the environment, and then we walked in, or biked into town. It was very successful, and we had lots of discussion going around those tables. Last spring, we had to get into the survival issue, because how many of you are on faculty somewhere? So then we get into this thing about, well, committee work is heavy, and do we really need all these committees? Well, do we really need environmental sustainability? Because if you're on, that is just another committee for people to be on, and then maybe they won't be able to serve on something else. And it was like we had a little bit of a fight, but actually we are still we are now a standing committee. I've been carrying this around since 2006, 2.5 years. It was in our Portland paper. I just love this. This is, I think, a clear message to people that don't believe that it's really happening. These are just organizations that we have had the privilege of being involved in. Last spring, the PreventHarm.org, who you're probably familiar with that site, and then the Environmental Health Strategy Center is in Portland. The Luminary Project, I don't know who's involved in that. I wish I was more. I've been to a meeting and that's it. And then the PreventHarm.org again. Next steps, meet with the College of Nursing and Health Professions to make recommendations. Review and revise. See, I just assumed that our philosophy used the word environment and that our program objectives does, but when I look at it, it's a very narrow definition. We look at it, particularly in nursing, more from a micro perspective versus the macro perspective. Okay, thanks. And then we want to work with the curriculum committees. Strengthen our association with student nurse organizations. It's amazing how many emails I'm getting from students now that say, I want to be on that committee. So that's very positive. We just initiated a monthly newsletter that says Be Green and Be Healthy. We're sending it out via email to all faculty, staff, and students. And like November's my month to send something out. The thing with undergrad curriculum, we've got to get their attention. You know, there's this thing called faculty autonomy, so we have to be very careful. That we don't look like we're pushing an agenda they aren't interested, because there's always more content to add, and so we don't want, it's like, oh God, the environment is just another piece of content. And this I'll go through quickly. This is just ways I thought. This is the impact on health gradient, which if you present this to people who teach adult health pharmacology course, I really like this one. Some of you have probably seen this. It was not in the Portland paper. This came out right after we found out that there was a problem with drugs, not just drugs and needles, but medication being found in our water supply. And actually, I did have one of my RN students work with a small community in developing a with the public health department developing a site for safe needle disposal. Maternal child health, well-being comes first, my child. Another way maybe we can initiate with a little humor. We did just pass a law in Maine that in January, no smoking in any vehicle if there's a child in that car. And this is just the newsletter that we recently sent out. That's it. Thank you.